Abba Father, you
are. Welcome. You're listening to Living Faith Podcast.
Starry sky and see your hand in time in mind to lead me through the night.
I'm going to kick off a series today that'll last for the next 3 weeks. And I'll confess, I'm going to apologize to you. I should have been teaching this material more often. This is the third or fourth time I've addressed this material. Let me just help you to appreciate something. Husbands and wives, you know your responsibility to one another in the kingdom of God, to lift up, to encourage, to inspire, to challenge, yea, even correct on occasion, kindly, graciously. Parents, grandparents, you know the responsibility that you have to inspire, encourage, direct, and lead your household and your children. In my job, I get to carry that responsibility for all y'all. There are financial things, there are facilities, there are aspects of running a church like a business, but it's not a small business, it's a people business. And if you might, and I'm just cracking the window a little bit to validate the material that I'm teaching, but if you've gone through the waves and ups and downs of your marriage relationship, and with your children, have you ever thought, you know what, it never lets up? Have you ever felt that way? So multiply. Never lets up. And I want us to understand something, that we operate here. Jesus said, go make disciples. That's what he said. Followers, people whose lives are different. He did not say, sing songs so that there's sufficient goosebumps in the crowd. He didn't say, make sure you have great friendships and relationships. He said, go make disciples. Now, all those things matter, and those things are valid, and they're part of the picture. But at the end of the day, our responsibility is to encourage and provoke and inspire following. We operate to help everybody at wherever you're at in your followership, that you know what the next step is, that you can see what the next step is. And somebody around you say, come on, take that next step. And there's a direction and a course and a pathway set, so you recognize, hey, man, I veered a little bit to the left. I'm not really fine. This is where I should be going. That's what this whole existence is about. And so when I consider that and I recognize that and I value that, here's what I know and I understand, and I'll get into this in a little bit, that the way we make our choices every day determines the success of our following. Day in and day out. Day in and day out. The choices that we make. How powerful is it? Well, some time ago, you've probably heard me share this phrase. I've repeated it often since I heard it. Every decision leads in a direction, and every direction leads to a destination. You know, let me just, I'm a little fired up today, so this is going to be a long message. I'm just telling you right now, pack it in. I hope you brought a lunch. I'm going to be here a while. You know, we sang about Jesus, and Jesus for everyone, Jesus a healer and deliverer. You know when that works? When I put my faith in Jesus. It won't work when I decide to put my faith in alcohol. It won't work when I put my faith in marijuana. It won't work when I put my faith in politics or government or in my employer. It won't work when I put my faith in possessions. And then there are so many people that placing their faith there and wondering why their Christianity isn't working. And your faith's not in the right place. I want to help us to maintain our faith in the right place. Every decision leads in a direction, and every direction leads to a destination. Where you and I are today, where our lives are, is not by accident. It's a series of choices. It's a series of decisions that have multiplied and magnified until this is the place where I am. If I don't like where I am, I have some choices to make. If I like where I am and I don't like where God's calling me, I have some choices to make. I like that phrase because it explains the value and the endurance of our decisions. Decisions add up. Decisions add up. Well, it was just a little decision. It was just a little choice. They add up. And victorious Christians understand it and they live by it. Now children don't get it. Children don't get it. A child, we know this, would only eat their favorite food all the time, regardless of the outcome. There are some children that, given their way, would eat marshmallows 3 times a day, every day. Gummy bears 3 times a day, every day. It would harm their health, but they don't know. In fact, it's proven sociologically that children and teens, even biologically, there you go, I got it. Make sure you spell that right, Kaylee. All right. It's proven that children and teens got to reach a certain level of maturity before they can begin to see the long-term impact of their choices. Generally, that age is around 16. Even academically, there are some topics and some concepts that cannot be taught or learned until there's a certain level of maturity that's obtained. Prior to that, young minds aren't developed enough. You can't see the long-lasting nature of the decisions. Children don't realize that decisions add up. They don't see that decisions lead in directions and directions lead to destinations. For that reason, conscientious parents remain coaches in their children's lives, well through their teens, into their 20s, and as long as they're allowed or invited. Try to be a mature decision-making resource. Unless, as parents, we remain unwise in our decision-making processes. If we're adults and we're physically mature and we're in our 30s or our 50s or beyond, we still might be unwise in our decision-making processes. If that's the case, we need to improve. Well, what happens if we don't? We perpetuate foolishness. I don't want to be mean, but I want to be direct. Have you ever wondered why some non-believers are so good with their money and some disciples are financially foolish? You ever wondered about that? You ever wondered why there are non-Christians who have great relationships and are socially adept, but there are believers that struggle with relationships? You ever thought about that? Now, I want to be real clear. Faith, salvation, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, completely necessary to begin following Christ, to enter into that kingdom life. But I want to make it clear, receiving salvation, entering into the kingdom, doesn't immediately change my choices. Salvation in Christ Jesus doesn't instantly make the rest of my life successful. Being filled with it, praying through and receiving the Holy Spirit today will not change your retirement investment choices tomorrow.
Right, right. That's
I believe it was Pastor Jack Hayford who said, we can't disciple demons and we can't cast out the flesh. Now, there are sometimes we come up against spiritual battles. And Tom, you're right. Every time you make an advance in the kingdom of God, the enemy makes a contrary counterattack. It's just part of the deal. You can't disciple demons. There are spiritual attacks. There are spiritual challenges. And you're not going to disciple that. You're not going to change that by decisions and action. That's a spiritual affront. But that's not the majority of the problems that disciples face. Our problem is we want to cast out the flesh. I want God to fix it when the problem is I keep doing dumb things. Trying not to be mean. But that's the truth of it. That's the truth of it. Our prayers are prayers of sorrow and of repentance, but we're not being empowered to make the right choice tomorrow. I'm sorry for what I did yesterday, but I'm not trusting God to help me live tomorrow or this afternoon. The power of making right choices. Discipleship always includes controlling our humanity. Successful lives, wide choices, smart decisions, these come from wise thinking. Look with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. The Apostle Paul describes this so very clearly. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. There's a lot in just those couple of sentences. Here's something we could pray about and ask ourselves as we reflect every day on the Word of God and in prayer. Lord, in what ways am I copying the behavior and customs of this world? In what ways am I just going with the flow? How am I just following the behavior? Well, this is what's going on in my, this is what's going on in my workplace. This is what's going on in the media. This is what's happening. Y'all with me? This is what Hollywood's saying. How am I just copying and the customs and behavior of this world? That's a great prayer to ask. Lord, help me. Help me see. Help me understand. Help me to know. Point this out to me. How about this? In what ways has God recently transformed my thinking? When's the last time my thinking changed to align with God and His kingdom? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. I was in a conversation this week with a dear friend of mine, a lifelong disciple. And he said to me, my growth point that God is working on in my life. And he said, I have to tell you, I'm a slow learner because God's been working on me for 6 months or more now and I'm not getting it. All his life, he's been surrendered to the transforming power of the Word and the Spirit, and yet he continues to be transformed into the likelihood or the likeness, will, if you will, of Jesus Christ. There's an ongoing transformation. Have you ever read the Bible? Maybe I shouldn't phrase this, have you ever? Maybe I should phrase it, when was the last time you read the Bible, you heard the Word, you were in a biblical conversation, you heard something from the Scripture, and you said to yourself, yeah, I don't think so. Oh, me. You know what that is? That's a transformation point. That's a transformation point. It's where every one of us has to decide, am I going to allow his thinking to change my thinking? I started a new book by Paul David Tripp, one of my favorite authors, this week, and I read this. He said, the church isn't meant to be comfortable. It's meant to be personally transformational. You know, the other thing I have to ask about this verse, can you throw that back up there, please, Sister Mill? The other thing I have to ask about this verse, to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I guess the question is, do I believe that? Do I believe that this is good? Do I believe that? Do I believe it's good? Do I believe that it's going to be helpful to me? Do I believe it's pleasing? Do I believe it's perfect? Because if I believe that, if I believe that about God's word and his, that, then why would I ever ignore it? If it's good and pleasing and perfect, why would I ignore it? Why would I entertain excuses against it? Why would I pick and choose? If it's the will of God, then I would surrender to it. Let's look at this passage, another passage, New Testament, Hebrews chapter 5. Most believe this was Paul as well, but it's not certain. The author writes this in 5:11. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Wow. Not just a verbal direct stand. It's written. Centuries later, we're reading this about these folks. You're dull and spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. That's such an in-your-face statement. Can you imagine talking to somebody and saying, listen, I'd like to explain it to you more, but it's tough material and I don't think you're going to get it. Right? Does that set things off well? I mean, that's, whoo. I'd tell you, but you know, it's over your head. You know, wow. And it's written down. Here's the painful part when I read that. The problem is not the power of the truth. The problem's me. There's a spiritual dullness. I've become a tone-deaf hearer. The issue's me. Now look at verse 12. You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. Look, folks, tenure is great. If you've been along around the church for decades, bless God, great place to be, amazing. Does not equate to maturity. The other thing is development is expected. Well, I've been here and I've been involved and there's like four or five things I'm really good at in the kingdom of God, so I'm good. I got my handful of kingdom properties. I'm good. But the scripture provides a greater thought, a greater challenge, more ongoing growth, continuing pursuit of the kingdom of God is what he is pulling, it's what he's calling, it's what he's professing in us. Now listen. Infants are born, they start out on milk. It varies how long they're on milk. It varies. But there is a point if they're going to continue to grow and they're going to learn to walk and they're going to mature in their thinking and their mentality. They've got to have more than that if they're going to grow. And that's exactly what the author is telling us here. There's got to be more. Verse 13, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant, doesn't know how to do, looky here, doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid foods for those who are mature and who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Changed thinking, mature training, skill. How are you and I? Let's ask this question of ourselves. How are we developing our skills to recognize the difference between right and wrong? How are we developing those skills? What are we doing on a regular basis to develop those skills? If you haven't picked up on it yet, just let me just be candid in my job description of myself as a shepherd of this congregation. I will help anybody who asks to talk through and decide and to work through a decision-making process. What I will not do is make your decisions. Not doing it. Number one, I don't want you blaming me. It's your life. Number two, I don't want you to come to me forever. I want you to learn how to make decisions. So you're new to the kingdom of God. You're starting out on milk. We're going to help you. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to help. I'm going to do everything I can to work with you. Throughout your time and service here, you got a question. You got something you want to learn, something you want to know. You think I might be a benefit to you. I'm going to help you. But I am not going to run around on Facebook and social media and phone calls and try to tell you day in and day out the stuff you already know you ought to be doing. I'm not doing it. I will not be the head of a Christian child care center. Not doing it. There are some leaders who function in that fashion. Rather than do your thinking, I'd rather train people to think. Because I can't be with everybody 24/7. I'd like you to succeed and know the scripture and turn to right things and make wise decisions on your own and help other people make wise decisions. Successful finances don't happen instantly after salvation. Successful careers don't happen because we prayed about it. Successful relationships aren't the result of singing a great worship song. Successful lives come from changed thinking, from training, from skill. Successful lives are results of wise decisions, thoughtful choices repeatedly made. And that's why this series stirs me so very much. I need to put it in my schedule of planning to hit it every couple of years or so, because it's practical biblical direction for wise decisions. These things that we share, if you will visit and revisit and apply, it's for people to say, you know what? I want to make the best decisions I can possibly make. This year, I want to make more wise decisions than I made last year. And next year, I want to make more wise decisions than I made this year. Lord Jesus, I'm thankful, Lord, for the transforming power that you provide. We're thankful, Lord, for your cleansing blood, your sacrifice on the cross, your death, burial, and resurrection that allows, Lord, our repentance and cleansing and baptism in the infilling of your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would illuminate my mind, illuminate my understanding, inspire, encourage, and direct. Help me to recognize, Lord, how you would provide, oh God, through your word and the leading of your Spirit, Lord. Help us to follow you more successfully, to grow farther and go farther down the pathway, Lord, of your kingdom. Move and minister, oh God, in my life. Illuminate, God, your word. And you say, in Jesus' name. And that was just my introduction. I told you it's going to be a day today. I have to tell you that the backbone of these sessions came from my friend, Pastor Daryl Johns of Atlanta West Pentecostal Church. My wife and I ran across these lessons that he had taught some, more than 20 years ago. And we've listened to those audios multiple times, particularly when we've made major decisions in our lives. Truth is, about 1 year ago, I was at Atlanta West Pentecostal Church, and I got to snag 30 minutes of Pastor John's time. And I talked with him and discussed with him some personal decisions. Now, some of you, wait a minute. You know this material? You teach this material, and you still talked it over with him again? Yeah, more on that later. Stay tuned. I'll explain why. I've added to his framework, tried to bring this to our application and our timeliness and our congregation, but I owe this material to Pastor Darrell Johns. First thing we need to ask when we're making wise decisions, what are my principles? What are my principles? What is a principle? What is that? Well, it's an idea or a rule or a belief that guides us. A belief, an idea, a rule that guides us. It helps us to know what's right and wrong. It influences our actions. Perhaps you saw it reported this past week, a couple gave their entire collection of artwork to Seattle University. They've spent 50-some years developing and collecting artwork and artists of the Pacific Northwest. And the interviewer for the article said, why? Why are you doing this? Well, they explained, we value Pacific Northwest art and artists, and we want this art to endure, and we want it to be viewed readily. What did they do when they explained why? They told us their principles. These are their guiding ideas and their basic thoughts. The value of a certain kind of art from a certain region, from certain artists. We want it to endure, and we want lots of people to be able to see it often. So on those principles, they gave it to Seattle University because it fulfilled. It would allow them to act on those principles. Everybody with me? Principles are the why behind the do's and the don'ts. As we understand why, we can apply it to other circumstances. Principles direct us in some circumstances that it's unclear. This is a new circumstance. This is a new situation. I've never faced this before. I'm not sure what's right or wrong or what's best or better or good enough. And in order to decide that, you got to know what are your principles. I do this because I believe this is true, and I'm acting on that belief. What are my principles? What are the foundational things that I believe in? One of my foundational principles personally is that leadership is by example. By example. I won't ask you to give if I'm not giving. I didn't ask you to come work on this building if I wasn't here. Not going to do it. Leadership is by example. That's a principle. So it affects my actions. It affects my actions in our home. I'm not asking my wife to do things that I don't do. I didn't ask our children to do things that I don't do. I didn't tell them when they were teenagers, you need to be in church and serve God, but not go myself. Leadership is by example. It's a fundamental principle. What's your fundamental principles? Is it honesty? Then you're honest. You apply that. You say things or don't say things. You declare things or don't declare things because the principle of honesty. Are you compassionate? What about commitment or kindness or generosity? What are the beliefs that determine my behavior? That's what I'm asking about. Now, we can't make principled decisions that are wise when we haven't decided what those principles are. Some of that's because we're still young. I'm not sure what I believe in. I'm still figuring it out. That's fine. Everybody does. Furthermore, we discover things more as we go on in life. We recognize some of the value of things that we didn't see when we were younger. Any older folks in the crowd agree with me today? Our principles as disciples are built on God and His Word. But I want to remind us that isn't true for everyone. Look at Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, Scripture says this, therefore listen to this message from the Lord, you scoffing rulers of Jerusalem. Old Isaiah could put a few words together too, couldn't he? Listen, you scoffing rulers of Jerusalem. You boast, we've struck a bargain to cheat death and have made a deal to dodge the grave. That's their principles right there. We're cheating death and we're dodging the grave. That's how we're going to make decisions. The coming destruction can never touch us. Look at this. We've built a strong refuge made of lies and deception. How about that? I got a strong refuge, my foundation, my principles, lies and deception. I feel like I could preach a little bit on that. Does that exist in our world today? Strong foundation of lies and deception. Therefore, verse 16, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It's a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whoever believes need never be shaken. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul described that cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. That's a chief cornerstone. Some build on Christ Jesus. Some build on lies and deception. Both of them are this refuge. Now, maybe I'm stating the obvious. We're not going to make wise decisions if our decisions aren't built on, or are built on, rather, lies and deception. Where am I getting my principles? How do people end up believing in lies and deception? Sometimes we're deceived by historical culture, by the past. Sometimes we're deceived by current culture, what's happening right now. Either way, we're deceived by things that are not eternal. Let me just show you this quickly in 2 Timothy chapter 3. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be difficult times. People will love only themselves and their money. There's the principle. That's the cultural principle. You know who I love? Me. You know what else I love? Money. Look later in the verse. You know what else I love? Pleasure. In the last days, those are the things I love. Those are my guiding principles. If you look through the passage then, there's a certain ways that they act. And in verse number 5, it says they act religious, but they reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. Man, again, the scripture is pretty direct. There is a power of God. We've talked about advantages of the Holy Spirit. But you don't have to take advantage. I don't have to take advantage. We don't have to release that in our lives. In fact, there are folks who prevent that in their lives. How do they do that? They love themselves, they love money, and they love pleasure. And if those are our gods, then we don't surrender to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And does that make sense? So there's deception. They believe in a lie. They're deceived by a faulty culture, and they make decisions on those faulty beliefs. Listen. I make that statement, and I talk about folks making decisions on deception and lies. I don't know about you, but there's a tendency to me to think about somebody out there who lives like that. You're never tempted by the power of money. You never do things just for yourself. You never do things just for pleasure. Pursuing pleasure. Is pleasure bad? No. Can it overtake the kings of God? Yes. As my good friend said, preacher, your competition is not other religions and other churches. Your competition in the great Northwest is fun. Pleasure. I just want to have fun. Everybody all right? What are you pointing out? I'm pointing out that if I'm going to fall into the common beliefs and practices and behaviors of my society that are contrary to the things of God, it prevents me from making wise decisions and following. It keeps me from... I'm trying to help us in our thought process. Sometimes the deception is we deceive ourselves. Two passages in Jeremiah quickly. My heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There's something about our own will, our own desires. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. We're not able to plan our own course. Mere humanity cannot make spiritually wise decisions. We'll talk about how to do that. Got to be thoughtful in our decisions. First of all, I talked about it in a message I just preached. You can revisit it. Holy Spirit, advantage of rightness. Rightness. We lean into the Holy Spirit. You're facing one of the most difficult decisions of your life. Here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Lean into the Holy Spirit. Pray, pray, pray. Ask your family to pray. Ask your friends to pray. Get around and pray and seek God. Lord, I need your Spirit to lead and guide and inspire and direct. I need to know what's right. I need the power to do what's right. Take that Holy Spirit advantage. It's not a time. Well, I'm facing a difficult time. I can't pray right now. Ridiculous.
That's right.
It's always good to pray. But powerfully important before you make a major decision. I've been in this business a little while. I've had folks approach me. Pastor, just give me announcements. Here's what I'm doing. Okay. Sometimes in days, sometimes in weeks, sometimes in months. I should have never done that. I should have never done that. Not praying, not in the Word, not discussing, not doing the things that we're talking about here with wise decisions. Like Evan started out, folks make that kind of choice. You know what we say? It's come home. Let's come home. Let's come home. Well, wouldn't it be better to not make those choices? Wouldn't it be better to pray about empowerment and positive and direction and growth instead of constantly asking God for deliverance and to fix all the messes that I've caused? Y'all with me? Right here, the Word of God, Scripture. Followers of Jesus Christ overcome deception by the Word of God. I told you a while back, one of my principles is to lead by example. You know where I got that? The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I got it right here. I've worked for people that said, lead by excuse. Y'all do what I tell you, and I'm going to be doing something else because I'm the leader. Don't you love that kind of management? Don't you want to serve those kind of people and help them out with what they're doing? How did your mind change? How did your thinking change? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. This book, the Lord's principles are discovered and applied progressively over time. You know why my dear friend who's decades long serving God says the Lord is still working on me? Because as he continues to pursue this, he recognizes, hey, there's something that I could still grow closer to the Lord. I could still understand greater things. I could still be developing in some other areas. Here's a challenge with this right now. There's no Cliff Notes section in the front. There's no front pages, primary principles of the kingdom of God listed here. There's no handy list. There's no YouTube shortcut. Rather, the principles of God are revealed as we grow and dig deeper in His Word. There's principles in the patterns. There's principles in the parables. There's principles from biblical characters. They're not discovered because in the morning, I got this little plastic tray with these small little cards in it that have a proverb written on it. And so I pick it up and I read that proverb every day. Man, I'm good for the day. No, that ain't going to get it. God's principles become a disciple's principles, and that's what His Word has to say about wise decisions. Wise decisions are based on principle. An otherwise decision is not to preach beyond what people can endure. Who give me that amen? Was that you, Drew? Come on. The guy amen me. Unbelievable. Guy amen me. Unbelievable. Next section is on purpose, and I'm not going to go there yet. I will dismiss, and we'll come back, and I'll go after it. Wise decisions. Wise decisions. Wise decisions. Have you ever been working with family or friends or kids or spouse, nephews, nieces, aunts, uncles, and they did something and it breaks your heart? Anybody? Yeah. It doesn't do any good to tell people I told you so.
That's right. That's
right. But it breaks your heart because you think this. If you just spent a little more time thinking about that.
Right.
If you just followed after some things, your principles, number one, your purpose is we're going to get into, and there are, believe it or not, eight more. We could be here until fall. And if we would go with those things, then our Lord, our Heavenly Father, it's not as often that He would look on our lives and say, man, why did you do that? Why'd you do that? I recognize that what I'm talking about is difficult. It requires thoughtfulness. It's not easy. It requires intentionality. It requires purpose. It requires working through some things. It requires some effort. So if you're looking for an easy kingdom of God, I'm afraid I can't tell you that. Salvation is easy. It's free. Discipleship costs everything. Pastor Tim Lee, Singapore. Discipleship costs everything. Would you pray with me again? Lord, we're your people. We're the sheep of your pasture. You are the great shepherd. I know, Lord, that by your staff you direct us and you guide us, you inspire us, you lead us into green pastures, Lord. You protect us, oh God. Help us, oh Lord, to be open and receptive, to be guided and directed. I pray, God, that you would allow your word and your spirit to be quickened and enlivened in my mind and in my heart. Right now, Lord, I may be dealing with a very, very, very sincere decision, but right now I might not be. I might be cruising along and it's easy, Lord, but yet I pray that these thoughts, these principles, these purposes, these things, oh Lord, that are from your word to make wise decisions would be solidified in my mind, solidified in my spirit, Lord, that I might follow after you, that I might pursue after you. Lord, of all my successes in life, I want to succeed in following you. In all the progress I would make in this life's journey, I want to progress in following you. Wise decisions happen as we consistently submit our thinking to the Holy Spirit and His holy word. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to the Living Faith Everett podcast series. Tune in next week for the next part of this series, or join us online at livingfaithministries.church.
Ghost, you give me peace.